We've come today to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, which reads like this: "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." And so what Peter's doing next here is he's telling us why the Old Testament prophets are worthy of our attention and study. And he does it by declaring their divine origin, that they are of God. And so he begins this way: "Knowing this first." And here what Peter does is he signals out a specific truth for our consideration. Knowing this is a present active participle. And the word means to recognize or to understand. It's along the line of what Hebrews 11:3 says. How can we know or understand what Peter's about to tell us here? How can we know or understand that God created the world? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith gives us this understanding. And so even as Peter was writing this epistle, the believers that he wrote to were in the condition of knowing, and in the practice of knowing. That was their present state. Remember what he said in verse 12 of chapter 1? "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." All right, so what is Peter saying they know? Knowing this. The specific truth Peter says that they were knowing regarded the nature and origin of the Scriptures. What is the Bible? What do we have here? Where did it come from? What is our duty toward it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul told us where he got what he preached and wrote. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." All right, these are primary truths: the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Notice, he says, this did not come from me. It did not originate with me. I did not make this up. I delivered you that which I received. And how does he say he received it? Not of man, or by man, but by Jesus Christ, he says in Galatians. In other words, man didn't begin it. Man wasn't the means by which it was brought to him. It came right from Jesus Christ, his own mouth. Now, when he says, "knowing this first," in 2 Peter 1:20, this can refer to time or place. And then it means before. Knowing this before. And also it can refer to rank or dignity, and then it would mean something superior or chief. Now, is this truth comes before other things, or this truth is above other things? You remember how John spoke of himself in John chapter 1? This is John the Baptist, John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him, Christ, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He was the subject of my preaching. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He's above me in rank and position. Why? For he was before me in time. Even though he was born after me physically, he existed before me as God, the second person of the Trinity. And so when Peter says, knowing this first, this truth that he is pointing out is a foundational truth. It is a first principle of our faith. It is of primary importance. And it comes first in order to all other truths. Because if this is not true, none of the others are. And what is that? That no prophecy of the Scripture. Now, this is a reference in the context primarily to the predictions of the Old Testament prophets, but it also includes the Scriptures as a whole, of which the prophets are a part. See, prophecy is a general term that applies to all the Word of God. And the word Scripture here is a word that means writing. And it refers to all the 66 books of the Bible. Remember what Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says? For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And that can mean Revelation or the book, the Bible, which means book, which is made up of 66 individual books. Now, Peter calls the Bible Scripture, Holy Scripture, the Holy Writings. Now, it's interesting, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, this term Scripture is applied by Peter to the writings of Paul. Verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. So when he's talking about Paul's writings, he say there's hard things in them to understand, and I would say the same with Peter's, but that's because they're all Scripture and it's God's Word, which is certainly above our finite minds and understandings. But it says here, Paul's writings, as well as the other Scriptures, he puts them together as Scripture. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, he's talking about how elders ought to be provided for. He says, and the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, when he says you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. He's quoting Deuteronomy, Old Testament scripture. But then, when he says, the labor is worthy of his reward, what's he quoting there? He's quoting Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Or verse 7, I'm sorry. Jesus is giving instructions to the 70 that he sent out to preach. He says, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Paul quotes Luke as scripture. And so once again we see that both the Old Testament and the New Testament are the inspired Word of God. That's what 2 Timothy 3 says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Old Testament prophets, Peter, Paul, Luke, and of course all the New Testament scriptures as well are God's Word. And what's he say about the Scripture in 2 Peter 1, verse 20? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And even this phrase itself is difficult, and it has many different interpretations. As I say, Peter had some hard things to understand in his epistles as well. The word interpretation comes from a word that means to loose up or to release or to discharge. And it carries the idea of loosening or untying of hard knots. And so it means to solve or to explain or to unravel a problem. In Mark 4:34, we find it used. Regarding the parables that Jesus taught and how he explained them to his disciples, it says, "But without a parable spake he not unto them." And parables are difficult to understand. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. That's the word, expounded. All these things, he explained their meaning. All right, let's go back to 2 Peter 1:20. Next thing we need to notice, the word private, no scriptures of any private interpretation. It's a word that means his own or its own. And so based on this definition, its own interpretation, it's thought that either its own refers to the scriptures themselves, and then it would mean we must not interpret only a single verse of the Bible, but we must compare it with all of the scriptures so that we do not come up with an interpretation that is contradictory to the overall teachings of the Bible. Like 2 Corinthians 2:13, or no, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:13. He's talking about speaking the things given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, Now, specifically, that's saying the apostles and prophets gave us inspired revelation. But then he also says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we can't have one verse by itself dictate our doctrine or interpretation, especially if there are other places that would not back that meaning up or contradict it. Now, there's another way to look at this. If the word private means not its own, but his own, referring to the prophets themselves, then it is sought to mean that the prophets often did not understand the meaning or reference of their own writings. And so he would be saying here, the prophets were not able or allowed to put their own spin or slant on them. They couldn't take what God said and bring it out in a way other than what God intended it to be stated. You remember how 1 Peter 1 talked about this difficulty that the prophets experienced to understand the things that God had given them to preach and to write. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching. The prophets were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. It was the Spirit of Christ giving them what they declared or wrote, and yet they did not know the full meaning or reference of it, and they tried to understand that. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. You know, in other words, in the latter days you shall understand these things or consider them perfectly. We see that stated. Daniel is an example of their struggling to understand what they were writing. Chapter 8. Here he has the vision. Of the four beasts, and down in verse 15 it says, and it came to pass when I Daniel had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So when he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So what Peter is saying there then in 2 Peter 1, 20, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private or its own interpretation, it has to be understood in the light of the entire Word of God, or it's not of his own interpretation. It wasn't something the prophets in any way originated or manipulated. And that's the next point I want to make. If his own is a general term, referring to all men, not just the prophets, then it's thought to mean that no man can understand the meaning of the scriptures by his own innate mental ability or human reason, but that we need the Holy Spirit who gave us the scriptures to interpret them and teach them to us. And without his ministry, we cannot understand them. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 again. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 12. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I'm in chapter 3, verse, chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the things that he has prepared for those that love him. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We can only know them by the Spirit God gives. Why? Because verse 14 says, the natural or the unregenerate, the carnal man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And he's not spiritual, he's natural, he's carnal, he has not the Spirit, and so he has not the illumination that God gives to his people. You remember what we saw in Psalm 119? This is what we always need to pray. Psalm 119, verse 125. I am thy servant. Notice, it's a servant of God praying this prayer. Only they can. Give me understanding. Why? So that I may know thy testimonies. So all these are truths, but back in 2 Peter 1:20, it would appear from the context that none of these is the proper interpretation of this verse. Why? Well, first of all, when he says no prophecy of the Scripture is, the word is here is a word that means arises or originates. It means to come into being or to come into existence. Then also the word interpretation can also mean a determination, disclosure, declaration, or utterance. Acts 19:39 uses it that way. Acts 19, verse 39. Here you have a determination by a political leader. The town clerk of Ephesus. And he says this. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined, that's the word, in a lawful assembly. And so, with that meaning of the word interpretation, what Peter is saying then in 2 Peter 1:20 is this, that no scripture originated or arose from the prophet's own determination, did not come from him. In other words, the Bible did not originate in the prophet's own impulse or understanding or insight. It's like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 about his preaching, the content of his message as an inspired apostle of Christ. For this cause also, thank we God, without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. It's not the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It actually is. That's the fact. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What if someone says, well, I don't believe the Bible's word of God, so I don't have to pay attention to it. Well, that's your sin. Well, then how do you know it's the word of God? God said so. Isn't that circular reasoning? No. When God says it, that's how it is. Remember what we read in Jeremiah this morning, 23? Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, or as he says elsewhere, their own dreams, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now there's a case of his own determination. God was not at all behind what they were saying. They were the authors and originators of their message. It was not the word of God at all. He says in verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Now all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, but the words of men are of no profit at all. Now, one thing we need to understand, our faith is a divine faith. And that means two things. It means first that our faith is given to us by God. He gives us true saving faith. And if it is not the faith of the operation or the gift of God, it's not saving faith at all. The second thing it means is that the object of our faith is not the inventions or productions of men, but it's the inspired word of God. In other words, we have a divine object of our faith, the scriptures. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's true faith. It's not based upon man's human reason and logic, but in the inspired word of God. And a person cannot be a Christian if he does not believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's the first thing. If you don't believe that, you're not a Christian at all. So that certainly excludes all our liberal people who think that the Bible is just myths, fables, and men wrote the Bible. No, God wrote the Bible and used men to do it. And so again, Peter's telling us this is something we need to know first of all, and most importantly of all, and something that everything else hinges upon and depends upon. The Bible is the Word of God. And the only way we can understand and know this is by faith. If we have faith, God has made his word alive and real, and we've experienced its power and effects in our lives. Like Paul said, it works effectually in you that believe. If a person has not faith, he has no way to really know experientially that the Bible is what it claims to be. And so he goes on in darkness until God opens his eyes and reveals that to him so that he can come to Christ with full confidence that believing the message of the Bible, the gospel of salvation, he's believing what God says and what God did do and does, and so he will indeed be saved. Why? Because of the infallible promise of the God who cannot lie. And so again, don't let anything shake that first foundational truth. No scriptures of any private interpretation. God gave us the Bible. We'll close in prayer.